You're listening to Fatal 4-Way Radio on the World Generation Podcast Network. Portions of this broadcast have been pre-recorded.
World Generation Podcast Network presents Fatal 4-Way Radio. Starring Rancho Punk Rocker, Albert Infected, Peacemaker Kev Gang West, and the Swami Christian from Philly. Brought to you in part by Pro Wrestling Planet. And now, your host, the resident heel, Minister of Sinister.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to this edition of Fatal 4-Way Radio. I am the resident heel, Mr. Sinister, and I'm sitting here with Rancho Punk Rocker, Albert Inspector, and also Christian from Philly, the Swami. West missing in action. The storm took out his power, but he's all right. We've made contact with him, and he's all right. He still might make it in. You never know. We'll see how it develops.
He's nevertheless. Kevin's on the roof of his house waving a flag right now. No, I'm kidding. Kevin's great. He's fine, and all of our thoughts and what's that?
I was talking about NXT. You were saying though?
Oh no, I was saying that our thoughts and good vibes and prayers out to everybody affected by the storm tonight, and also rest in peace, Norm MacDonald, comedy legend gone too soon.
Yeah. Man, I found out earlier, just a little while ago. Wow, I couldn't believe it. So yes, definitely rest in peace, MacDonald. And yeah, man, we completely missed the storm. We were supposed to get, you know, some rain, which here in Houston, the rain is always going to pose a problem. You know, they've got money to throw at big stadiums and all kinds of crap, but never mind the flooding situation. So that's been the course for this city I guess since in existence. But nevertheless, the storm, it took a side turn, and it swerved us. So we really didn't get hit by it, and thank God for that. But other people did, and there's other people without power, and Kevier is one of them. He lives way on the other side from where I live. So, but that's how big the area is. He caught the tail end of it, and it's unfortunate, but that's what it is for right now. Norm MacDonald, man. Way too young, this guy. Who would have? I never knew he had cancer. I had no idea his whole cancer thing was a shock to me because I hadn't heard anything of it. Perhaps he kept it quiet. I do not know. I do not know. But anyway, we wish his family the best, as I'm sure they are dealing with tough times right now. So yeah, NXT is on right now. I've got a situation going on where there's an actual wedding.
It's
point
still going
in the ring.
It's still
yeah. Yeah, Christian, elaborate on it for us, bro. Elaborate on it for us. Who are these people, and or is it two guys getting married? I'm looking at two guys right now.
I don't know.
Are you watching the
jobber
season of The Bachelor?
No, it's NXT, bro. But no, it seems it's a woman. They're going long, Christian.
It should keep going.
Well, after 9 o'clock now, which is strange, I don't know the deal they've got with, you know, USA to be able to do this. I mean,
yeah.
I don't know what follows. It's probably the Chris Lee show or some crap like that.
The Nick Jr. version of NXT is still on right now, isn't that?
It's still on
right now, bro. They're having some shit wedding. I've got it on mute,
it's
but
fucking
that's what's
overtime.
Going on.
This is ridiculous.
You know, yeah, they're ruining our fucking ratings right now. This is ridiculous. Vince McMahon did this on purpose. I know he did. He sat there and said, you know what? Tuesday night is for NXT, not Fatal 4-Way. So we're going to rebrand ourselves, and we're going to the networks that we're going to go over just so our bleed into Fatal 4-Way Radio will not
what
happen.
A carnage,
so that's the dude
of shit that Vince McMahon
this the whole NXT show has been a fucking disaster. This whole show.
let's get the party started with that. Go ahead and fill us in. Give us a... Do you have the card in front of you, Christian? I started watching.
What?
Let me set the table real quick. I started watching from the beginning. Right away was starting to fall asleep. But then I caught wind, and the first match was actually kind of entertaining, kind of exciting. Who were the L.A. Knight is the guy's name?
L.A. Knight, who is Eli Drake from Impact, faced fucking
yeah.
Rick Steiner's son. Braun Breaker, whatever the fuck his name was.
Yeah.
He did terrible. The kid did awful. He didn't do shit. In fact,
they already put him on TV. I didn't see NXT, but supposedly I thought this guy was just starting to train. What the fuck?
Awful.
Looks like that's how they're rolling with this. By the looks of this marriage, it looks like that's how they're rolling on this NXT. They're just picking people off the street, putting them on TV. Holy shit.
Wow. Wow. Because that was like, dude, we just heard, like, it was like a couple weeks ago, or maybe like a week ago. It's like WWE has signed Rex Steiner, which is Rick Steiner's son, Baseball Pump's nephew. They just signed him like a week ago, maybe not even 2 weeks ago. And I was like, okay, cool, we can go developmental. No, they threw him right on TV, didn't they?
That's awful.
I didn't mind that first match, Christian. What was your beef with it?
The fucking Rick Steiner's kid didn't do anything. He got his ass kicked and then did
yeah,
what?
He got
one
beat
fucking,
down the whole match, really.
And then he just did like one move and that's it. That was not impressive. Then we go to the next match, which was a tag match between Emporium and whoever the fuck these jobbers were. They were fucking terrible. Imperium,
jobbers versus jobbers, bro. Emporium,
yeah.
Who the fuck are these guys?
Imperium is a veteran. They're veterans, so they weren't jobbers. But it was awful. First
their
of all, they cheered for the veterans more than the rookies.
Yeah, their entrance started these veteran guys, whoever they were. And I thought it was going to be Vaudevillians or some shit making a comeback the way they looked with the shadows and shit. And they started walking, and then it was clear who they were, and it wasn't the Vaudevillians. I don't know who the hell they were. But nevertheless, I thought the first match was entertaining. I thought the first match, it was a beatdown from that L.A. Knight. L.A.
Dude,
Knight.
I'm looking up Rick Steiner's son's Wikipedia. This dude hasn't even been wrestling for a year. In fact, I don't even know how many matches this guy has under his belt. He probably doesn't have very many. I'm talking like a handful. By a handful, I mean like less
yeah.
than a dozen. And this guy is on the
Unified
Network. Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's what we're talking about a week or two ago, was that there was some gripes on the internet wrestling community. Yeah. There's always gripes on there. About how AEW just throws fucking people on TV. But here it is again. WWE just throwing people on TV.
Well, they got to follow suit, you know. they see it's working for AEW, so they're like,
yeah.
Fuck it, we got to do it too. Christian?
But, you know, at least AEW is throwing indie stars on TV, right? Maybe they're not
yeah.
ready for TV, but at least they worked a few years on the independent circuits. Fucking this kid, literally, I don't even know. Like, if he's probably never had a match in his life. Who knows? He's probably never even wrestled in front of people before. You know what I mean? From what I'm reading, so I don't know. This is that's odd.
It's a bad business model what they're pursuing right now. I think they have the perfect business model. I mean, if you ask me, I think there's something going on behind the scenes. All of a sudden, they killed Triple H's company, his fucking baby.
Yeah.
They just fucking
yeah.
killed it. And now he's fucking in a hospital somewhere recovering from surgery or some shit that he had. But nevertheless, what's he going to do now? just stay in the office and shit? I mean, this had to be his outlet, Christian. Don't you think? I mean, like, you know, he's done wrestling, but yet he's not really done. So this had to be his outlet. Now they swept the fucking rug out from under him. He doesn't even have that. Is there something more going on with this shit?
No, it's like Vince McMahon hates independent wrestling. This is a callback. This is like saying, fuck you. This shit is awful. We're going to do new shit stuff. And it showed tonight. This show was a fucking disaster. First of all, the next match is a female's match between B-Fibe, or whatever the fuck her name was. I don't know who B-Fibe is. B-Fibe, Hit Row. They had a match against some luchador woman. It was awful. It was terrible. The luchador woman was terrible. She couldn't even jump off the top rope apron, hardly. That was bad. And the match was terrible.
What were their names again, Christian? That we can look up real quick and see how long they've been wrestling.
B-Fabe. B-Fabe. B-F-A-B. B-Fabe.
B-Fabe?
Maybe Fab? F-A-B?
That's her name.
B-Fabe.
That was her name.
Yeah.
Brianna Brady? No.
Oh, man. What is she? Car
that
model?
That was her name.
They got car models just picking up on the street.
B-Fabe. B-F-A-B.
Yeah, B-F-A-B. And you know what? She doesn't even have a fucking Wikipedia.
What the fuck?
Yeah.
They're
So there you go, bro. They're just interviewing people. They're having casting couch interviews is what they're doing.
Yeah.
I wouldn't put it that way.
That's
weird.
It is. That's weird, you know? Like, it's like a fucking wrestling school that's like, okay, we're going to have a show on Friday night for all the new people who have been training here for 6 months. Only it's on a fucking national TV network.
6 months? But shit, they just signed that fucking kid fucking 2 weeks ago. Terrible.
Then was this guy, Meletas, whatever the hell he was, the guy was cutting basketball promos with this other guy. This promo sucked. Wow. This segment sucked. I didn't understand what they were talking about. Horrible. They were horrible. The only good move he did was like a jumping apron, the rope thing, whatever. That was terrible. Then was the females tag match between Gacy and Jaden versus the Becky Lynch clone, whoever this woman is, a Becky Lynch clone, and some other woman.
The Becky
this
Lynch
match,
clone got mic time, right?
Yeah, for like a few seconds in the backstage segment.
Because I was away from the television and had my back turned to it. And I could hear someone that sounded like Becky Lynch.
She's
a
clone.
Or something.
Clone. They were useless. These women were useless. They already got DQ'd in their first match, their debut match. Mandy Rose is a heel now. She changed her gimmick. She changed her look. She's now brunette.
She's coming out to Marilyn Manson's. It's the same song too. That song that he copied from that 80s band.
Yeah. So they have a six-woman tag, which you would see in Raw. They do the same shit they did with Raw. And it was a decent match, but guess what? Mandy Rose did all the fucking work. The other two were useless. They didn't do jack shit.
Couple of useless lovelies.
I'm not saying the B word. I'm just saying lovelies and useless. I'm just saying
that. I'm calling them lovelies. They were a couple of lovely.
But still, they were useless. They didn't do nothing. Am I wrong, Minister? You were watching it. They barely did anything. Mandy Rose did all the work.
Thinking that we were going to get something cool, but it wasn't. I mean, it was clearly one or two women in there that had control of the full match. The others were just filler, wasting time. It's like they're fielding out. I don't even know that they're fielding. I think they've already fielded it out, and this is what they came up with, and this is what they're throwing on TV, and let's just call it NXT 2.0, and fuck it. Whoever likes it, fuck it. Whoever doesn't, fuck them. Right? This is where they're at right now.
It's extremely weird, man. Like I said, I didn't watch it, but from what I'm seeing and from what I'm reading and hearing from you guys, I'm probably gonna watch it tonight or maybe tomorrow. But it sounds completely odd.
Mandy Rose out of this whole cast. Even that guy that you guys mentioned from fucking TNA or whatever the hell, I didn't know who he was.
Dexter Lumis, yeah, it was Samuel Shaw. Or is it Eli Drake we were talking about?
No, Eli Drake, that's the one. I didn't even know who the hell he was. They were all surprised.
I'm a completely... I'm an Eli Drake mark. I think that guy's great.
They buried him.
He was buff.
They
buried
him tonight.
They what?
They buried him tonight.
Wait, this is the opening match? The opening match guy?
Yes. No, Eli Drake. They completely buried the guy tonight.
Okay, who was the opening match guy?
The opening match guy was Rick Steiner's son.
And
I'm
the
talking
other
about
guy.
Eli Drake.
Who was the
Eli
other guy?
Drake. Eli
yeah,
Drake.
He won.
The guy. No, Rick Steiner's son won. Eli Drake lost.
Oh, hell.
The fucking LA Knight is Eli Drake. He lost. He got completely buried tonight. He took a pinfall in the beginning of the match, the beginning of the show, and then he loses again in the Fatal 4-Way. He's the one who got pinned tonight in the Fatal 4-Way.
Do you
he
think
got
it's
buried
because
tonight.
He's got experience and they're going with the fucking new guys all the way?
But Tommaso Ciampa isn't a new guy. He's a veteran.
That's interesting.
He's not a new guy. He's a veteran, which makes no sense why he won no championship in the first place either.
Yeah, it doesn't make any sense either. Tommaso, I mean, Tommaso's a great wrestler. He's a great performer all around. But, yeah, he's like, compared to everybody else in NXT, man, that guy's, like, old. Yeah, I think he's older than Samoa Joe. Like, he's old.
Tommaso?
What? They took out Kyle O'Reilly. They took him out of this match. I don't know why, but they did, which makes no sense. And they gave it to this Von Wager person. Well, you're saying, Albert?
Well, I'm just thinking, like, okay, the reason they're changing everything up, you think it has something to do with the ratings? Do you think it has something to do with AEW beating them in the ratings? Like,
I
you
think
really,
so.
Mean,
I think
like,
Vince McMahon got so fucked up about it that he's like, no, Triple H doesn't know what the fuck he's doing. I got to round up my boys, and we got to go in there and do it our way. That's what I'm thinking. I mean, what the fuck else? They took all this shit away from him, dude. So what happened to Shawn Michaels and all them that were working backstage?
Dude, Shawn Michaels is a fucking kiss-ass. He goes on Twitter saying, man, this is the start of a new era. What are you talking about, you idiot? What are you talking about? One of the fucking competitors in the... He said that in the beginning of the... Yeah, sorry?
Albert, are you in on the loop about Samoa Joe having to give up his title?
Dude, something smells fishy on that one, too. It really does.
They said... What did they say, Christian? That it, due to certain... Certain fucking situations, something. Yes, it was crazy. No explanation. Certain.
The excuse they came up with is that he was injured due to injury.
Certain injuries and shit, and they just—it was just like the whole thing was like you could see, you could tell that they're like pulling the fucking wool over everyone's eyes. Christian seems to think that they're gonna fire him next again. Which, if that's the case, then we got to get him on the show.
I see him. I see him going to AEW, even back to Impact very soon. Because it was just very fishy. Like he was out for a long time due to nagging injuries, right? And then now all of a sudden he comes back, wins the title, and now he's gone again in a few weeks.
Bros, and, there's so much talent out there cool. right now that even Impact could become good again. There's a whole revolution going on right now. And I mean, Hardy's going to, there's going to be another round, another batch of releases coming up soon. And we're going to have.
What happens next? Hello? Is anybody there? You still there?
We all left. We all left, sorry.
Oh, okay. All right. So up next, we have the debut of the Greed Brothers. Bro, they were awful. I'm sorry. Throwing people constantly in a match does not make it a good fucking wrestling match, okay? Because that's all they did was throwing people, and that's it. Fuck, this match was awful. And then we go to the main segment, which was where we're talking about right now, the wedding. It's fucking dragged out. This wedding segment dragged out for shit. And then nothing. Nothing fucking happened. Nobody interfered. No surprising, shocking debut or return. Nothing. They just get married, and that's about it. What a horrible, horrible segment. What a horrible way to end the show.
It's a wrestling wedding, so, you know, there has to be some sort of interference or something, and there was absolutely nothing, you're telling me.
Nothing happened, bro. Nobody interfered. There was no brawling. They got married, and that's it.
They were having a good time at the end. Oh, it's me. Welcome back.
Yeah, you're supposed to play little sound effects when you get back there. You have to let us know that you made it back to the time warp.
Damn it. So sorry about that.
Yes, or nothing.
Yeah, you're right. This is the part where I'm supposed to say my bad, too. No. This is the one I like. This one. All right, my apologies, guys. Weak internet connection took me down, and I'm calling from my phone now.
You're calling from the roof of the house.
Yes.
So
where were we, guys?
No, we were at the wedding and how it was fucking terrible. Nothing happened.
I don't even know who these fucking people were, Christian.
I didn't know half of them either. Like, fucking nobody. The only person I knew in that fucking crowd was fucking in that fucking ring was Johnny Gargano and his wife. That's it.
Wow.
And before we go on with the show and we talk about birthdays and history, can I say something? The biggest offense of this entire show was the fucking set. My God. That set is horrid. It looks like they're fucking wrestling in a fucking high school gymnasium. What the fuck? Like, the lighting is so fucking bright. I literally had to cover my eyes some points into the show because the Titantron was too bright with the fucking rainbow shit from Nickelodeon. It was horrid. That whole set was horrible.
I'm looking at it right now, and I would have to agree with you. It looks like a fucking high school gymnasium. Sorry. It looks like old Country Wrestling Federation coming to the high school gym this Friday night. And we've got Alberto Del Rio on tonight in the main event.
Speaking of Alberto Del Rio, his trial is coming up October 5th.
Yeah.
Actually, it got moved from, you know, whenever it was supposed to be a couple of weeks ago. It got moved, so now it's going to be October the 5th. On a Tuesday. But anyway, let's move on.
So they didn't have, dude. They didn't have barricades at this show?
No.
NXT? No. There's no barricades at all.
No, it looks stupid. I don't know what the fuck it is. Like,
just the fans sitting there like in some high school gym, right?
Yeah.
That's weird. It's really odd for WWE to be doing. As I'm looking at the set right now, I was like, where the hell is the barricade? Like, the fans are just sitting at ringside. Like, it was like some, it's like some, like, NWA, like, 1981 shit, you know?
Yeah.
Are we missing Chuck again?
No, I'm here. I'm just fucking preoccupied trying to get the shit back on, you know?
Yeah. So whose birthdays do we got today?
I can't get to them yet, bro. I just tore everything down.
Oh,
and I can't even pause myself. So we just keep going. But I got to tell you, man, this NXT, I still think it was something to do with, like, some kind of heat that Triple H has with Vince McMahon or something. There's got to be he was so pissed off that they fucking beat him in the ratings that he's just dismantling the whole thing that Triple H worked for. And frankly, I think it's fucking shit. I think it's a bunch of horse shit.
I don't even think it has something to do with AEW at all, even. I just think Vince never liked NXT to begin with.
Damn. I mean, you don't think he stings and burns though, about, you know?
You know, I'm kind of watching this the main event, right? The Tommaso Ciampa match, and I'm looking at the camera pans here, bro. The camera work looks like the original NXT. I'm talking like the NXT from like 2012. You know, the you know, when they were doing the stupid games and stuff, and they would have like these matches
jumping over barrels,
you know?
And shit.
That was 2010 NXT.
Yeah, it looks like they're going back to that camera style, and it's weirding me out.
Well, you know,
that was horrible.
You know why, right? Because you know why,
no.
Right? It's Kevin Dunn. Kevin Dunn's in NXT. There you go. That's your answer.
Oh God.
Yeah. So they have completely dismantled.
You know, they had like those weird. You guys remember like when NXT first debuted and it was that video the rookies and the pros and they did all that stupid shit.
Yeah.
You remember how the camera work was different than the WWE main shows? You know,
yeah.
it was like a lot of pens, you know, a lot of crane shots. And that's what this looks like. It's pretty weird.
It's pretty fucking garbage. That's what it is.
It's
so I guess they scrap yellow too, right? They're scrapping yellow. They're not using yellow as the NXT color. It's just some
no. It's fucking
a
rainbow.
Bunch of colors. Then. Yeah. Wow.
Nickelodeon.
Yeah. I mean, I could have gotten behind the explosion of colors if it was like a new company or a new show even. But this looks weird, man. And you can see like every member of the audience and the pants and the white ropes and the just everything. It's very off-putting to me as I'm watching this video with no sound. But yeah, it's pretty off-putting.
And speaking of new, next week is the new season of Fatal 4-Way Radio. What are we up to, like season 6 now?
Well, it's season,
season
5.
Season 5.
I don't know.
I have no idea.
We need to get a count. We need to get a count of all these shows. That way we can just know how many we've
got. We've got over 400 shows on the World Generation Podcast Network.
Yeah. Over 400.
That's different shows, though, you know?
Yeah.
Different shows. We've had Now, Christian, what shows have you used to host?
Radio Renegades.
Oh, yeah. That was some good shit. With Christian and Batman.
Yeah.
And we had the Joe Bates Show. We had the Full Tilt Boogie quite a bit. We had a full season last year. And by the way, tomorrow should be the season premiere of the Pluto Beach of Cowboys Season 2. With Chuck Champion and Chale Pistola. So, yeah, be sure to tune in for that tomorrow.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know what the fuck is going on here.
That's a really good show. If you like the Cowboys, yes, of course. And you know, I have that theme song stuck in my head, like, constantly. I don't know why. But, yeah.
Still?
Maybe I need to stop listening to it when it comes on.
Still? You still have that song burned in your
head? I still do. Like, I'll be at the store, like, at some, like, random time in H-E-B, like, getting groceries or something. And I was like, was it like fucking Bud Light or something that has like an advertisement with the fucking Cowboys logo on or something like that? And then I start thinking, Cowboys! Like, oh, God,
shit.
I'm doing it again. That should be the official, be the official theme song of the Dallas Cowboys, I think. Yeah.
That's funny. That's funny. But yeah, so that should be scheduled for tomorrow, even though it's actually not scheduled. But it is scheduled, I should say. And then what else were we fucking talking about? Oh, yeah, here we are. Here we are back in the studio again, guys. Let's see if everything is coming back together again. And I actually don't think so, because I think that I would have to call back in and shit like that. But at least let's see if I have the support for the soundboard. I do. So shit, it's time to go ahead and take a break to get out of this shit. And we're going to come back. We're going to regroup, because we still have birthdays and history and, you know, all kinds of shit to go. So yeah, Nicholas is right. What's that?
Nicholas is fucking his whole show up.
There you go. There you go. That fucking guy, I'm telling you. He said he was out to get me. So, yeah. So, stay tuned for more as we figure out what the hell is going on here in the studios. And we come back, we're going to wrap it up, and we're going to keep going nonstop, all right? So, this is the last break of the night, the only break. So, stay right where you're at, and we'll be right back after these words on Fatal 4-Way Radio.
For a wild show about your precious Dallas Cowboys, check out the Puro Pinche Cowboys podcast, Season 2, coming soon, only on the World Generation Podcast Network. Stay tuned for more. Puro Pinche Cowboys! Puro Pinche Cowboys! Podcast. From the Friendly Fire Cigar Studio in Houston, Texas, you're listening to Fatal 4-Way Radio on the World Generation Podcast Network. Stay tuned for more. Friendly Fire Cigars. Come on in and enjoy the game. Come on in and relax with friends. Come on in and light them up at Friendly Fire Cigars, where they carry top brands such as Arturo Puente, VAO, Romeo and Julieta, Avo, Monte Cristo, Ashton, and many, many more. Friendly Fire Cigars, where they have amenities such as comfortable leather seating, 4 HD TVs with 4 separate cable receivers, Netflix, Wi-Fi, cigar lockers rental, patio seating, and much, much more. Where do you want to go? Friendly Fire, Friendly Fire, Friendly Fire Cigars. 1905 South Derry Ashford. Friendly Fire Cigars. Get there. Rena Sable Merrill. You guys remember Sable?
The first year of like a chick that I had up in my room was Sable, and I put it up, and we lived with my grandma at the time, and I remember it was like this whole thing. Like I should never put the picture of Sable up in my wall, you know what I mean?
What did your grandma say about the Sable poster, Kevin?
I for Dios.
I can't remember exactly. I just remember like that I was definitely asked to take it down, and she was wearing like a leather, like a one-piece bikini, like just, but it was like, you know, it's kind of like the Baywatch bikini, but black leather, so it was a little lewd, you know? I was like, but I won it with one of them where you throw the dart at the balloon thing, you know, so it was my prize.
Was it a legit poster, or was it like some sort of Carney knockoff?
It was definitely like a Carney, like a small, like 6x8.
A Carney
with
knockoff.
A mirror?
Oh, yeah.
Carney knockoffs, only on Fatal 4-Way Radio.
Welcome back.
We got some Norm MacDonald there, Chuck?
We don't have any Norm MacDonald, no, unfortunately. We have
Jimmy
O'Connell.
Real cops? Hello.
Are we here? Can you hear me?
Yes, I'm here. I'm just eating popcorn chicken.
All right. Good. Well, then we're here. We're here. Everybody can hear. Good. We're back. That was rough, guys. So let's see, now I gotta pull up all the shit, but we have wrestler birthdays coming up, and that is brought to you by Modelo Chelada, which is what I'm drinking right now. Mango chili, baby. Mango chili. And I cornered the guy, all right, because I still haven't been able to find the sal limon ones, the salt and lime or whatever the hell. Right, haven't been able to find those yet. So I found the guy was at the store the other day, and I cornered the guy, man. I'm trying. I said, "Hey, what's up with the green ones, man?" He said, "No, they're still making them." I was under the impression that maybe they were just seasonal, and I had drank them all up and shit in my neighborhood, fucking from store to store and shit. But no, turns out that they're having a problem with the printing press or something with the aluminum and blah 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 in Mexico. At least that was the story he gave me. So those beers will be back, and I'm looking forward to them. But in the meantime, I'm drinking mango chili. Chili on the willy,
disclaimer, everybody. By him saying cornered him, he didn't mean like threatening. You know, he walked up to him and asked him politely. So disclaimer, just in case people confuse.
Yeah. Thank you, Christian, by the way. Thank you. Saving my ass on that. But people get testy around here. People get fucking testy. So, yeah. Let's move right along, guys. It's birthday, Penelope Ford. Penelope Ford, yes. I've heard this name here recently. I think, is she somebody new from NXT or
no,
is
she's
AEW?
An AEW.
AEW,
she's an AEW.
Yes. Penelope Ford, and she was in the, she took part in that battle royale, that women's casino.
Yeah.
Yeah, she took part in that. So, all right. So congratulations to her. 1992. Let's see. You know who else is a birthday? Tomorrow we have Theodore Long. Now, wait a minute. Playa. Yeah, Theodore Long tomorrow, who was best known for being the longest reigning SmackDown general manager. Yeah, he had a long-ass reign. Adrian Adonis, September 15. Jim Cornette, September 17. Gerald Briscoe, Renee Young, and the infamous Eva Marie, also September 19. Arn Anderson, September 20th. And Greg the Hammer Valentine would have had a birthday September 20th. And Ethan Page, also September 20th. So that's it for the birthdays. Give it up. Day in wrestling history, September 14. We have, let's see, what do we have? Completely, something completely different from what I had up earlier. But no less, September 14th. All right, so we had a lot of shit, really, including some Ric Flair shit with Bischoff. But let's see here. We had Chairman of the Man. Here we go. 20, and here's the deal with Triple H and Vince McMahon again, oddly enough. Because 22 years ago, at a SmackDown taping in Las Vegas, Nevada, WWF Chairman Vince McMahon defeated Triple H in a no disqualification match to win the WWF Championship with Shane McMahon as a special referee. Now, at 54 years old at the time of his win, McMahon was the oldest WWF champion in company history. He would vacate the title the following Monday on Raw Is War, and Triple H would regain the title soon after. Christian.
This was during the time where Vince McMahon was screwing Austin again. He did this twice in the same year. Remember? He screwed Austin with the ministry shit acting, and then he screwed Austin again with this whole Triple H feuding thing. Now, here's the thing, right? I don't have a problem. Back then, right, I didn't have a problem Vince winning the world title as much as I had a problem with Vince Russo winning the world title, or David Arquette, because here's the thing, right? Vince is the fucking owner. He could get away with it. That's the thing. He was the owner of the company. And he didn't, he vacated it the next night. But not by a stupid fucking match like Vince Russo did in WCW. So that's why I let it slide back then.
Interesting.
But if it were to happen now, in 2021, I would not let it slide.
No?
No.
Why?
The internet would fucking erupt. They would burn down WWE headquarters in Stamford, Connecticut, if this happened today.
They would.
Damn, I'm all for it. I'm all for it. I'd like to check it out. it would be a bunch of fucking nonsense. And you're right, Robert. It probably would create, I don't know if they would go that far, but shit, it would create some fucked up shit. That's for damn sure, bro. That's for damn sure. And let's see here. So yeah, that's what was going on at that time. Vince McMahon. Now, was this during the Triple H Reign of Terror?
No, that was before the Reign of Terror.
All right. 13 years ago, guys, a young Brian Danielson, defeated Yoshinobu Kanemaru to win the GHC Junior Heavyweight Championship. The title took place during ROH's last trip to Japan until War of the Worlds in 2014. So young Brian Danielson, in Japan, kicking ass.
Yeah.
That was 12 years ago today, so that was before, right before his WWE career.
Yeah.
Right before that. Wow, interesting. Let's see here. Also, 13 years ago today, do we want to talk about TNA, Christian?
Yeah, go ahead.
All right. Let's check it out. See if Albert knows any of these guys. I remember a few of them. I don't think I remember this card, though, but let's check it out. 13 years ago today, TNA presented No Surrender from the General Motors Center in Oshawa, Ontario, Canada. The filthy Canadians. This was TNA's first pay-per-view outside of the United States. Prince Justice Brotherhood, which was Super Eric, Shark Boy, and Curry Man, defeated the Rock and Rave Infection, which was Lance Rock, Jimmy Rave, and Christy Hemme.
Horrible.
Yeah. Awesome Kong defeated ODB in a False Count Anywhere match.
Horrible.
I used to like ODB, though. She was comedic.
Yeah, but she wasn't a good wrestler.
No, no. It was strictly comedy. Although I did not enjoy her crotch shots, though. I did not appreciate those. She could have done less crotch shots. And should have. Abyss and Matt Morgan defeated Team 3D, Brother Ray and Brother Devon. Abyss and Matt Morgan.
Okay.
Sheikh Abdul Bashir defeated Petey Williams and Consequences Creed, who is also known as Creed, also known as Austin Creed.
You know what? Yeah,
also known as Xavier
Woods.
Yes, there you go, guys. And this was a three-way match, and Bashir defeated them, and he won the TNA X Division Championship. Christian?
Bashir was also known as Davari, and I have no idea why they changed his name to Abdul Bashir in the middle of the TNA run, but they did.
I don't think they had copyright. I don't think they have it legally, you know, his name, but... that's good booking.
That's
his name. Takes place in
John Daivari's his name. That was his legal first given name.
I know, but this is TNA we're talking about here. TNA we're talking about here. So, it's great booking, right? This pay-per-view takes place in Canada, right?
Right.
And Petey Williams is from Canada, so nothing says good. Good A Canada than having your hometown hero lose in a triple threat match.
For sure.
Good booking. Great booking.
Taylor Wilds defeated Angelina Love to retain the TNA Knockouts Championship. I was never really pro Angelina Love, but she never did anything to impress me. And I don't even remember who the hell Taylor Wilde is. Remember is that this was during a time when I couldn't watch it anymore.
Taylor Wilde, let me tell you something. And oh my God. I met her in person at a TNA house show. And, Taylor Wilde is great. She's a Canadian girl, and I don't think she's wrestling anymore. But, she's great.
Yeah.
Sanjay Dutt defeated Jay Lethal in a Ladder of Love match. Holy shit. Matter of Love. Horrible. That had to be something Jay Lethal conspired. I'm just saying.
Probably Vince Russo. Probably something Vince Russo.
Oh, yes, you're right. I forgot, dude. Vince Russo. Oh, you're absolutely right. It had to be some Vince Russo shit. I love it. Beer Money Incorporated, which was, of course, Robert Roode.
Yeah.
Or was
and James
it Bobby
Storm.
Roode? Yeah.
That
and
was
James
Robert.
Storm. It was Robert.
Robert.
All right. And James Storm defeated the Latin American Exchange, Homicide and Hernandez, to retain the World Tag Team Championship, TNA.
Sounds like the only good match in this pay-per-view.
I guarantee it was a good hard-hitting match.
Yeah.
Yeah. AJ Styles fought Frank Tigg. Notice I said fought. Frank Tigg to a no contest in an MMA match. Yeah, I didn't watch this shit.
That was horrible.
And Samoa Joe defeated Kirk Angel, and Christian Cage in a three-way match to retain the TNA World Heavyweight Championship.
So the Beer Money match and then this Triple Threat match was the only good matches on this February, because this February sounds like right shit.
I would imagine. Who the hell was Petey Williams, though?
Petey Williams is a Canadian wrestler.
Little Papa Pump, man.
Little Papa Pump, yes, yes.
He was Little Pop, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. All right. And then who
the innovator. he was the innovator of the Canadian Destroyer. The reason why everybody does a fucking Canadian Destroyer in every fucking pay-per-view now is because of Petey Williams. Every fucking pay-per-view is a Canadian Destroyer.
They use it every fucking show. And every fucking
What about the Bunny Destroyer?
Well, that's still
the
Canadian.
The Bad Bunny used.
Yeah, that's
created
by
Petey
Williams.
Wow.
So were you gonna say who was the Curry Man minister?
Yeah, who the hell was the Curry Man?
I'll tell you who the Curry Man was. It was Christopher Daniels.
You know who the Curry Man is? Chris Daniels.
Oh yes, that's right. Christopher fucking Daniels. That's right.
Which I don't know why he would agree to that gimmick. Like I can understand agreeing to be Suicide, but fucking Curry Man?
Yeah. I think he was just having fun at that point. He was just doing it. He was wrestling as Curry Man, and then like later on in the show, he would wrestle with Christopher Daniels, so it wasn't like that was the only thing he was doing.
My favorite with these, when it was him and fucking Frankie Kazarian, and they were coming out with the fucking martini glasses and shit.
Those two together, dude. I mean, like,
they're
a very underrated tag team that should go down in the annals of history. It's one of the greatest tag teams, right? But they don't get the respect they deserve. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
What is Christopher Daniels, by the way? He sent me this beer out of AEW. He's in AEW, but ever since the team broke up with Frankie Kazarian, he just suddenly disappeared.
He's probably taking some time off. The man's been wrestling since the 90s, bro. He's been wrestling for like 25 years straight.
Yeah.
And I remember the first time I saw this dude, I was like, that dude's pretty cool. And it was like a demonstration with like, I forget what it was. It might have been Mad TV, but he showed up on Mad TV versus Bret Hart. It was really weird, but it was like a TV show. And it was like Bret Hart was like demonstrating some holds, and he was demonstrating them on Christopher Daniels. I'm gonna have to look it up. I don't know exactly what I'm talking about, but yeah, I think so. This was in the mid 90s.
Interesting.
Yeah, it's very, very, very interesting. Was he Curry Man or did he have a martini?
Probably.
No, he was always real funny, man. I thought him and Kazarian together were gold. I would have loved to have seen them do that shit in WWE, but you know, hindsight is 2020. WWE would have fucked it up some in a big way. They would have fucked it all up and ruined it for me.
I mean, James Storm didn't even get a fucking chance. In WWE NXT, he didn't even get a fucking chance. He only showed up for like one show, and then that's it. He was released.
Ugh. That's terrible. So this day in history, yeah. One more thing, guys. We'll close this shit out. 6 years ago today on Raw from Memphis, Tennessee, no less.
Yeah.
Nikki Bella clinched the record for longest WWE Divas Championship reign in company history with a DQ loss against Charlotte.
I wonder why.
The result allows her to extend her reign as Divas Champion beyond the 295-day record held by none other than AJ Lee.
Well, do you ever wonder why Nikki Bella held that title for so long? It wasn't because she was a good wrestler, because she wasn't. Spoiler alert.
Punishment?
No.
Was it punishment for fucking to AJ Lee?
No, it was because she was sleeping around with John Cena. That's why.
Oh, yes, I forgot about that. Oh.
Later. The name of the TV show was called Later. It was a short-lived talk show in 1998 with Christopher Daniels and Bret Hart demonstrating wrestling moves. I have no idea why, but I remember seeing this when I was a kid. Like, oh, that's cool. I'm going to look this up tonight.
Maybe I'll share it later. Was it Later with Bob Costas?
It might have been. It might have been. Hold on.
There used to be a show called Later with Bob Costas.
He also was in a TV special about exposing the business with the voice actor of Salem the Cat from Bewitched. He dressed up as a masked wrestler named the Slither.
Christopher Daniels?
You're talking about the NBC one. We talked about this a few months ago. The NBC TV show that released that everybody had tapes, right? I had a tape that I passed around at school with all my friends. It was that Secrets of Pro Wrestling show with the fucking
Salem.
I remember that.
Exposing the business. Now you know the tricks.
Oh, man, that was gold. So what was it?
What? The special?
Yeah.
No, it was like exposing the tricks and secrets of professional wrestling. Like, it shows you how they do the
like the
stomps
magician?
On the mat. No, it's like it's showing you how they do it, like the stomps, the fake punches, the spot.
Yeah.
Microphone under the ring. But for some reason, they chose Salem the Cat to do the voiceover.
Wow.
I remember that. I must have watched that video like 1,000 times, like trying to like just amazed by the whole thing. It was great. The baby powder thing really like it tripped me out. I was like,
it
what? That's not really something. Why?
Because it was like kind of insulting. Like it made it seem like wrestling fans are like the biggest idiots ever. Like
at the time
like
you were.
We kind of knew it was fake. We knew it was fake, but we're not fucking idiots.
Yeah. But you know what? Yeah, I agree with you. And most people by 1998 or whatever, most people knew that that wrestling was fake. And but you know, this is just a ratings grab, you know. And it was like I think they aired it a couple of times on NBC, and it was like a primetime special, like on Saturday night. It was like before Dateline, like a stupid little hour-long TV show about how wrestling's performed. It's pretty interesting.
I like it. I like the sound of it. I wish they had a show like that now. Maybe they could talk about, you know, Big E and his fucking crazy eyes that he makes and shaking his fucking ass. By the way, he won the WWE Championship last night. After he said he was going to do it, no less. Christian from Philly was real fucked up about it. He called me and left me a message. He was really fucked up about it. Why would he announce that he was going to win or to cash in? And, you know, hindsight is always 20/20. My answer was today, you know, I was like, well, fuck. It was the beginning of football season.
Yeah.
They had to do something to try to fucking combat the fucking ratings.
They
you know, that they were going to lose out for because people like me were going to be watching the football game. And that is
and
exactly what fucking happened.
And they failed. I left you a voice message on that, too.
Yeah, I heard them all. And that's exactly what happened. He won the fucking title. There was, you know, there was reaction,
fanfare.
Of course. Obviously, there was reaction for him, you know. Don't get me wrong. There was reaction for
barely a reaction.
But, you know, at the same time, they had a huge dip in the fucking ratings.
Yeah, 1.6. They went down. Nobody gave a fuck. They had even hours to tell them that Big E was cashing in. Nobody still gave a fuck. Nobody gave a fuck if Big E was going to be champion or not. Nobody cared.
I got to say, I was watching the game. But, you know, when that match came on and shit, I was more focused on the TV than I was the computer. I wanted to see Big E, you know, if he was going to win or if he was going to, I thought he was going to be a false cash-in. Either a false cash-in or a fucking, or a failed cash-in is what I was banking on.
Yeah.
But you know, I wanted to see it either way. He ended up winning the championship. And now, who the fuck knows where this goes? What do you think, Christian? What does this do to Bobby Lashley?
Well, he's going to face RK-Bro for the Raw titles at fucking Extreme Rules. Because the pay-per-view is next weekend, by the way. So there's no way they can get a championship match against Big E and Bobby Lashley already, first of all. I don't know where this goes, but fuck this title reign. This title reign is already looking like shit because nobody gives a fuck due to the ratings. And I'm not saying Big E does not deserve the title. I'm not saying that one bit. I want to make things very clear. I'm not saying he doesn't deserve a world title reign. I'm not saying that he's underdeserved. But the way that they did it and the character that he has right now fucking sucks. If this was Big E Langston, who was a badass and who beat people up, yeah, people would have been excited for it. But no, this is fucking
this is
Big E.
I don't like this Big E.
Clown Big E who shakes his ass, fucking throws pancakes at people, and acts like a fucking idiot. So guess what?
Big eyes. He's always got the big eyes and shit.
Sorry if I'm not too fucking excited for this. Title reign.
Do you want this Big E, this crazy Big E, this ridiculous Big E, or do you want 2012 Big E that stands there with his arms crossed and doesn't know what to say?
Who cares? Like, at least he was intimidating back then. This is fucking ridiculous.
Well, here's what I'd like to know, too, though. Okay, so, you know, he clearly won the title that was on Raw. Tomorrow, it's already been announced, he's making his first, or he's going to be appearing at, SmackDown?
Yeah.
So what the fuck does this do to Raw with their title? They don't have a title on Raw? They're going to have two titles on SmackDown?
No, he's probably going to get drafted to Raw. October 1st is the draft for SmackDown.
Yeah.
He's going to get drafted to Raw unless he loses the title already.
Unless it's the big dog gets transferred to Raw and he loses Big E loses the title to someone who stays on SmackDown?
Oh, no, no. Fox will never let Roman Reigns go to Raw. No. No, no, no. Fox is not letting Roman Reigns go to fucking Smack Raw just to trade for fucking Big E. So that's not happening.
I see what you're saying. So, like, Roman Reigns is revered as Fox's top star. You know, I actually saw commercials with they were highlighting Roman Reigns and shit on while I was watching football this weekend on Channel Fox.
Yeah, no.
They had Roman Reigns fucking pinned off. And then, also, I've noticed some commercials on my Roku that come out, and they say, be Roman. Be Roman. And it's a fucking, it's a pill to make your dick hard. Be Roman ready. Is what the commercial says. I kid you not, you can look it up. Be Roman ready. Be Roman ready. And I have the TV on in the fucking background. And I'm like, you know, they're playing this shit. Sometimes they play it two times in a row. It's like, what the fuck is this shit? And I look into it and I start paying attention to it. And it's like a fucking pill to make your dick hard. I'm like, what the fuck? But no, it has nothing to do with Roman Reigns. But nevertheless, it's out there. Be Roman ready.
Yeah. Yes, there's no way Roman is going to Raw. There's no way.
Be
not
Roman
for a fucking
ready.
3 hours. Yeah.
So, yeah, they had a huge, and I'm looking for the article, of their ratings. They had a huge fucking drop in ratings.
Whew.
I had it up earlier, but then everything went to fucking shit. And by the way, they had another botched ending last night on Raw.
Yeah, you want me to just cover Raw altogether, you know, anyway?
You know what? Let me go ahead and cue that shit up, and we'll fucking fade right into that shit right now. Let's do that. Yeah.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, give it up for the Swami Christian from Philly with this week's WWE Report. Swami?
Yeah. All right. So, I'm just going to, you know, we're going to start off with the women's matches because the opening segment was bullshit. You know what happened anyway. So the first women's match was Charlotte Flair versus Shayna. Garbage. Shayna and Charlotte are terrible.
Oh, wait a minute. No. You talking about the first segment with Randy Orton and them?
Yeah. No.
I wanted to touch on that.
Oh, you want okay, let's touch on that.
I wanted to touch on that real quick about fucking MVP's work. I don't know if Albert got to watch the highlights of Raw last night, but MVP's work when he was mimicking Riddle, saying Randy, Randy, and I thought that was fucking hilarious.
Yeah, I didn't see that part, but it sounds pretty funny. MVP's
go
golden the mic,
it,
bro.
He was mimicking Randy MVP. And he was like, Randy, Randy. I mean, it was fucking hilarious. MVP was doing some great work there. Definitely earning that fucking Hall of Fame bid, in my opinion.
Yeah.
But that was all I got from that first segment, really. I mean, everything was pretty much, you know, you could tell where they were going to go with it. You couldn't really tell, though, that, you know, Big E was going to cash in because of how Bobby Lashley maintained his fucking poise and, you know, he was stoic as he always is, even after he got fucking taken down by a fucking RK bro. After the, you know, as the segment concluded, he still remained stoic and shit, you know, as he was on the ramp. Randy and, his buddy, his little buddy, were celebrating in the ring. But I digress. Christian.
Yeah. So we go to Charlotte Flair versus Shayna. Terrible match. Not worth. It was so slow.
Randy.
So terrible. These two have no chemistry with each other. And then after the match, the worst gimmick of all time comes out again. Alexa Bliss holding a fucking present. And inside that present was a little Charlotte doll named Charlie. Kill me
They're
now.
They're selling this doll
me.
Already, by the way.
Yeah.
Apparently the doll
kill
is
me.
Selling.
Yeah, of course, because it's a plushie, that's why. But fuck me, I hate this gimmick. This gimmick sucks. Alexa Bliss isn't even the one who's over, it's the fucking doll. The doll is getting over than the person who's holding the fucking doll. That's pathetic. So I'm not excited for this fucking match at Extreme Rules. This story sucks. Charlotte Flair looks like a right idiot. I feel bad for her. She looks miserable. Her booking has been atrocious. Her feuds have been atrocious. Awful. 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 Speaking of bad booking, right? We go to the next match, which was a random six-man tag between Drew McIntyre and the Viking Raiders versus the Mahal family. I don't even know what their group name is. I don't even think they have a name. But this match didn't even last long. This was like, what, 1 minute? And the match was over. I'm like, what the fuck is this shit? This is horse shit. Like, how can you book Drew McIntyre in this? This is horrible.
I know, bro. But you know, man, at the same time, bro, I mean, fuck, man. This is the same company that had fucking Matt Hardy running after the fucking 24/7 title last week.
That's the same company that
fucking, you know, they're fucking lost their fucking minds lately.
You know what, dude? I was just reading the NXT results here because I was trying to catch up on everything you guys were talking about here. And I guess I must have missed it earlier, but Rick Steiner's son really beat LA Knight? What the fuck?
Yeah.
What the
That's why
actual...
I couldn't believe it because the LA Knight was beating the fuck out of him the whole match. To me.
What the fuck? You're talking about like a 10-plus year veteran here. That's probably, I mean, that easily could be one of the best, biggest stars in WWE in LA Knight, Eli Drake,
like
whatever you
want to call him.
Getting beat by some
was.
Kid who hasn't had a hand, who knows if he's even wrestled a match before in his life. What the fuck?
Awful.
A kid with a name, bro. A kid with a name. Makes me wonder, huh? That's fucked up, man.
Up next, it was Jeff Hardy versus Damian Priest for the U.S. title.
By the way, I said Matt Hardy a little while ago. I meant Jeff Hardy.
Yeah.
They had fucking Jeff Hardy running after that fucking title last week.
Yeah.
Fuck.
What the fuck was the point of this? There was no point to this match. We all know Damian was going to retain because he has a match against Sheamus at Extreme Rules. So there was no point to this fucking match. None whatsoever. This match was pointless.
He's presenting at the Latin fucking Grammys next week. He's on a push right now. A media push and all that shit. There's no way he's going to fucking lose. You're right. It was pointless. I do like the fucking beatdown Sheamus gave him afterwards, but even so, Damian Priest still came out on top.
Yeah. Guy is zero charisma. He has no talent. He has no charisma. The guy is boring. Horrible. Up next was the fucked up finish to this women's match. Nikki Trash versus Tamina Snuka. I don't know what the fuck happened here. Fucking Nikki Trash pins Tamina. Tamina kicks out. The bell rings. And for some reason, even though Nikki Trash pinned Tamina, Tamina was still declared the winner of the match. How the fuck does that happen? How does that happen? What happened here? Honestly happened here.
It was a botched ending. Let's see. What happened was they fucking Nikki A.S.H. was pinning her. Referee counts to three.
Tamina kicked out.
Kicked out on three, mind you. Kicked out. And then her fucking music played. And they announced her the winner. Get the fuck out of here. Of course, they came back from commercial and they announced that, you know, they made a mistake. But holy shit, I was like, the whole time, of who the fuck is doing this shit? Man, and you know, you've heard about, I read last week, late last week, that they did budget cuts, more budget cuts, including to the production team. Just last week, they went from three teams backstage to just one. They got one team backstage, one production team backstage. That means they got to go from scene to scene, set up, tear down, set up, and, you know, I mean, come on, man.
Fucking
so, yeah, they're budget cuts, and then whoever the fuck is running the shit, I mean, they've really jumped the shark now. WWE has really jumped the shark, and they are on a fucking downward spiral that's not going to end well for them.
Yeah. Albert, what are your thoughts about that botch?
Well, you know, I didn't see the match. I didn't see much of Brawl. Like I said, I've been, you know, it just sounds like they're going in the wrong direction, bro, and every fucking thing. You know what I mean? Like, it's just coming from what happened tonight, what happened the night before, you know what I mean? It just seems completely, like I said earlier, off-putting, you know?
Yeah. So, up next, the match again, Rhea Ripley versus Natalya. Bro, Rhea Ripley fucking sucks. I'm sorry. She can't have a match with anybody in the main roster. What?
I like Rhea Ripley. I don't know what the problem is.
She can't have a good match with anybody. This match with Tamina sucked. I mean, Natalya sucked. She has no chemistry with anybody. Like, who cares? This match was horrible. Then, again, an eight-man tag. An eight-man tag between Mansoor and Ali in the New Day versus AJ Styles, Omos, and T-Bar Mace. What the fuck?
Oh, yeah, man. That completely lost interest by this point.
Omos is horrible. Bro, he sucks. I mean, the guy's awful.
I mean, the game was getting real good at this point, too. I mean, they were slinging touchdowns and shit. I got, my eyes were nowhere near that fucking TV for Mace and T-Bar and whoever the fuck else was in there. I mean, it's a bunch of horse shit.
This is fucking trash. This is horrible. Then it was the worst match of the whole show. Doudrop versus Eva Marie. This match fucking sucked. Spoiler alert. Eva Marie is fucking horrible. She doesn't even know how to do a roll-up. You don't grab the wrestlers by the legs to do the roll-up. You grab them in the crotch area to do a roll-up. She doesn't even know how to do that. This is horrible. She can't wrestle. And Doudrop wins. But who cares? I hope this feud's over. But I bet it's not. Horrible. What are your thoughts on that, Minister?
Doudrop, I don't know, man. She's the, are we talking to me or Minister, sorry?
I'm sorry, you, Albert. What do you thought of Eva Marie? You know?
I hope Doudrop can recover from all this bullshit with Eva Marie. And, of course, she had, like, a great
you know, run in the Indies and that European Wrestling Federation, whatever it was called, you know. And WWE just, they have this thing of like, oh, you know, this wrestler's real hot on the Indies. Let's bring him up, change their name, change their fucking character, and, you know, change everything that made them work and put them on national TV and then act surprised and release them when it doesn't work. It's kind of weird.
What about you, Master?
Man, I mean, you know, like I said, by this time I had lost interest. I mean, I know the Dude Drop got married last week. But, you know, the whole Eva Marie and Dude Drop thing, like, it doesn't call me anymore, bro. It's over already. What the fuck is left for them to do? Unless if she's going to fucking go in there, beat her fucking ass down, rip her fucking face off. There's nothing else that needs to be said or done with these two. Move on already. Get fucking Eva Marie off of my television.
Up next was probably the best match of the whole show. Bobby Lashley. No, it was the best match of the whole show. Bobby Lashley versus Randy Orton. Great match. Great work. Randy Orton is a star. The fans only popped when Randy Orton showed up. So Randy was the only one who got a fucking pop. The fans were dead at this point. The crowd was dead the entire show. Until Randy Orton came out. They were cheering his name nonstop. But, you know, Randy loses. And then you know the rest. Fucking Big E cashes in. But here's the confusing part, right? Bobby Lashley puts Orton through the announcer table. I don't know how, even in kayfabe, how the fuck can you twist your leg by fucking putting your opponent through a fucking announcer's table? How is that even possible? Can anybody explain to me in kayfabe how a spine buster can make you tweak your leg even in kayfabe? Someone explain me that. Someone explain to me how that works even in kayfabe. That makes no sense whatsoever.
Unless the person picking you up grabbed your leg wrong. I don't know how to explain that.
Minister, can you explain that shit? Because that, even in kayfabe, that makes no sense.
No, I can't explain it.
Dumb. Dumb, dumb, dumb. It made Lashley look weak. And then you ruin. So, and another thing, right? This whole thing with the whole Big E cashing in and shit. There was no build-up or even hint that Big E was going to cash in on Lashley at all. Throughout the entire week since Big E
was. You had him fucking busting out a goddamn tweet.
I know, but I'm talking about the build-ups. I'm talking about the entire weeks that Big E won this briefcase. He has been teasing that he was going to cash in on Roman on SmackDown every fucking segment.
Yeah.
I guess out the fucking window. So then what the fuck was the point of that then? What the fuck was the point of those segments then? Because out of nowhere, he comes out on Monday saying he's going to cash in on Raw with no build-up, not even a mention of Bobby Lashley up until this point. And then he beats Lashley. You ruined Lashley's title run for no reason whatsoever. I don't know why you abruptly end his title run. How the fuck are we going to get Lashley versus Lesnar now for WrestleMania? Because we all know Lesnar only does matches when titles are involved. We all know this at this point. Unless he's facing The Undertaker, he doesn't do matches unless the titles are involved. So are you going to make Lashley a champion again? This is a lose-lose situation. The way they did this was stupid. It makes no sense. And guess what? It didn't even fucking matter. It didn't even raise the ratings. This booking failed. It failed on their faces because the ratings didn't even go up. It went down.
So that begs the question. That begs the question, Swami.
Yeah.
There's only one question.
And now it's time for Booking 101 with the Philly Lily with the Chili and the Willy, Christian from Philly.
What would you have done different? How would you have done this?
It's so fucking simple.
Or what the fuck would you have done? I mean,
it's so fucking simple. This is the most simplest basic shit ever. Have the match between Randy Orton and Bobby Lashley at Extreme Rules for the WWE title. Bobby wins, but Goldberg comes out, beats the shit out of him, and that sets up the Crown Jewel match at Saudi Arabia, right? It's not for the title.
Cool.
Goldberg faces Lashley at Crown Jewel. Goldberg beats the shit out of him so bad that the ref stops the match, and the match is over. Goldberg beats him up again, and this is after the draft. Have Big E drafted to Raw, and then after Goldberg beats the shit out of Lashley so bad, he leaves the win the ring. Yeah, Big E gets drafted to Raw because October 1st is the draft. Have Goldberg beat the shit out of Lashley so bad, Goldberg leaves, and then Big E comes out and cashes in on Lashley to win the title at Crown Jewel. It's so fucking basic. This is the most basic shit they could have done. This is so easy. I just set it up for you right there. So fucking basic.
Yeah.
Wow.
You don't think it would have been like, I mean, never mind. They would have, the fans would have fucking, on the internet would have had a fucking shit fit if that happened.
The Crown Jewel?
Yeah. If Big E cashed in a Crown Jewel.
They would have done nuts. That's excitement.
You're a smart motherfucker.
They would have gone nuts for excitement because he's cashing in a title at Crown Jewel. They would have popped for Big E.
Wow.
Instead of doing it on a fucking, the most least watched fucking Raw.
That's what it was, too.
Fucking idiot, man. Fucking idiot. Now, let me talk about SmackDown for a little bit in this report.
It's the WWE report. It's not just the Raw report.
Yeah. So, last week, Madison Square Garden, we had the Beast Brock Lesnar show up and Roman Reigns. And the crowd was cursing up a storm. You couldn't hear what Brock Lesnar was saying because they had to censor it. So the promo was sabotaged by the crowd. The crowd sabotaged the segment promo for Lesnar. So we're getting Lesnar versus Roman at Crown Jewel. Who cares, really? Who honestly cares? The next thing that happened was Becky Lynch. And my God, Becky Lynch is a horrible heel. She's horrible. I'm sorry. This heel run is a disaster already. First of all, I go on Twitter immediately after the segment, and everybody is mocking her, calling her fucking Elmo from Sesame Street because of her fucking giant red coat that she wore. That
stupid
giant red coat.
Fuck Twitter. I fucking love the coat, and I love that it matched her hair and shit. I thought she looked great in that fucking coat.
Yeah,
fuck
but
Twitter.
What the fuck? That's stupid. It's too big.
I like the outfit. I like the outfit a lot. I think it suits your heel persona.
It's horrible. She's trying to be Hollywood now? Horrible. It's fucking probably piped in spoon noises. It's probably piped in, too. It's the most forced heel run ever. It's forced, man.
It's forced. Then another major issue that happened on SmackDown.
Wait a minute. Speaking of Twitter, I saw on Twitter, actually, where a fan at a house show was getting into her face, calling her something, and she fucking went up to that fan and fucking, you know, told the fan off or something.
Yeah, she's gone mental.
Well, she's being a heel.
Yeah, but she's really cursing at somebody. I don't know if that's really part of her character at this point. I think that was just genuine anger at that point.
Interesting.
I think that's genuine anger. Anyway, yeah, so another major issue about SmackDown last week was they cut a match that was supposed to happen on the show. It was the 9/11 anniversary. They were celebrating. They were, you know, tributing.
They
the
even
9/11
had
thing.
A show, bro, to lead in to SmackDown.
Yeah.
Right before a 9/11 special.
Yeah, and then
that led into SmackDown, and then tell us what happened there.
They cut a match with Selena Vega and Carmella versus Liv Morgan and some other woman, I don't know, Toni Storm. And if you probably don't know, Selena Vega is a 9/11 survivor with her dad, you know, like her father or whatever, whenever her family members who died in 9/11.
Yeah.
And they cut her match. And
she
that's
had
bullshit.
Special gear, ring gear made to honor her father and stuff. And the match got cut to time restraints, you know.
They should have cut that fucking 10-man tag match. Because that 10-man tag was garbage. You didn't even see the match. The commercial took up most of the entire match. So then what was the point of it? They should have cut that match and gave her the fucking time slot. That was so disrespectful. Terrible. So disrespectful.
Man, it was fucked up, man.
But honestly, it's kind of her fault, too, because she re-signed with these people. She should have known better. She should have known better. She should have known not to re-sign these people. And look at the way she's getting. She's losing every week. She's a jobber. And it's
she hasn't
all
won
her
not
fault.
One match since coming back. Not Ooh. One.
Not one what? Not only one? Well, what else got cut?
She hasn't won not one match.
No, not one single match since she came back.
Since coming
she's
back.
Been losing,
no.
losing. She's a loser.
And then this whole fucking thing that they did with her hair, I can't stand it.
She looks like one of the Usos, because the Usos have the same thing. Horrible. So, yeah, so the rest of the show was unremarked. Oh, yeah, the best match of the whole show was Edge versus Rollins, obviously. Edge is selling a concussion angle, where Seth Rollins beat his shit up so bad, Rollins pinned him and they had to stretch your Edge. Best match of the whole show by a mile. Best storyline in a mile.
Yeah, but still, man, when does this fucking end, bro?
I guess they're going to have another match at Extreme Rules. Third time's the charm, I guess, as they say. What happened? Oh, yeah, the main event match was the Street Profits again versus the Usos again. The tag titles were up on the line.
Yeah.
And it ends in a DQ. Roman asserts his authority, you know, asserts his big authority, and disqualifies the Usos. And they retain still. The Street Profits win, but by disqualification. And I would not be surprised if this match happens again at Extreme Rules. Fuck me. You've seen this match how many times now? Three times? It's going to be four now. And guess what, everybody? The thing that I've been calling for weeks now, literally last week, the Demon is back. Hooray!
Finn Balor, the demon, has returned. But guess what,
idiot?
Guess what? He's going to get buried by Roman, too, at Extreme Rules.
Yep, he's going to get fed.
He's
going to get fed to the monster, to the demon, or to the, the head of the table. He has to eat. The head of the table has to eat. So they got to get, unfortunately for Finn Balor, he had two characters that, Roman Reigns already ate Finn Balor. So what's left of him is, the demon, so he's going to eat the demon at fucking Extreme Rules. You can count on that.
Yeah,
mark me down. Put me down.
Yeah, he's going to beat the demon. And he's going to beat Brock Lesnar, too.
No, you guys think that's going to happen? I think they're going to bury him. They're going to bury the demon. I don't see Vince allowing Finn Balor to beat Roman Reigns and Brock Lesnar. Unless they're going for another fucking Chris Jericho moment when he beat The Rock and Stone Cold. But that would be some shit. But I don't see it happening.
Another reason why I hate this Roman Reigns shit, this might be even worse, gentlemen, than the Triple H Reign of Terror. This might be worse. Because nobody is coming off like a star every time they feud with this fucker. Not a single person. Kevin Owens, his contract is coming up. He might possibly leave. And guess what? He's the guy who Roman Reigns feuded with. He's leaving. Finn Balor,
he's
the guy who's feuding with Roman. He's leaving, too.
He's leaving. They're all leaving. Sami Zayn is leaving. They're all leaving. I've also seen that Johnny Gargano's contract is expiring soon. Soon, very soon, December 3rd. He's leaving.
It's all because of Roman. It's all because of this constant push down people's throats of Roman. Because that's the only person they fucking pushed. Roman. Nobody looks like a star. Roman has beaten everybody. He made everyone look like a schmuck. He's going to beat the demon again. Finn Balor, he's going to beat Brock Lesnar. He's going to possibly beat Big E at Survivor Series, if Big E is still the champion at this point. He's going to beat some other schmuck at TLC, which I don't know who could it be. I guess Seth Rollins. I don't know. Seth. And he's going to beat some other schmuck at the Royal Rumble. He's going to be in the Elimination Chamber. He's going to beat them people, too. He's going to beat somebody at Fastlane again, and he's going to fucking lose to The Rock at WrestleMania, or beat The Rock. And either way, it's a lose-lose situation, whoever wins, because guess what? If he beats The Rock, who the fuck is left to beat Roman then? Who looks legitimate to beat Roman at that point? And if The Rock beats him, what the fuck? Roman looks weak because he could be anybody, but he can't defeat a former Hollywood superstar. Either way, this is a lose-lose situation. They booked this Roman Reigns bullshit in a corner, and nobody's fucking liking it. I'm seeing people who liked it getting sick of it already on Twitter and everybody else. Everyone's saying, yeah, it was good for a while, but, I'm starting to get bored of it.
Well, believe it or not, Swami, I caught myself saying those exact words after this last Friday night. Like, hey, you know what? SmackDown was the better show. It quite possibly still is the better show of the two, of SmackDown and Raw. But, shit. The only reason I'm watching SmackDown is because it's the lead-in to fucking, the AEW show, Rampage. And I might just stop watching that too and start getting home later. to where I don't have to watch that shit and just catch up on the fucking highlights. Because frankly, it's a waste of fucking time. It's just a bunch of fucking shit. WWE has fucking turned into a bunch of a steaming pile of fucking dog shit lately. And it doesn't appear that they're doing anything to make it better, at least for me. Now, I don't know how you guys, how Albert feels about it, or how Kevier feels. I know Kevier's had a staunch turn lately. He's had a big turn lately. He used to be the WWE apologist.
Yeah.
Albert?
I sort of I used to be the WWE apologist, too, and now I'm not anymore. And it's for shit like this. But you know what? Yeah, I totally agree with Christian there. They booked Roman into a corner. And so now, you know, who's about to beat him? But it's going to be, you know, they don't know yet. They don't know who the fuck's going to be him. That's WWE logic. They book, like, 3 weeks in advance, if that. You know what I mean? They have no idea who's going to beat him. The Rock, I don't see The Rock doing it. I see The Rock agreeing to do it, but then at the last minute, you know, changing creative directions and letting Roman go over. It's gonna take a new young up and comer. It's got a lot of
that guy up and comer. The dog son, or what's it? The dog face gremlin son, or who the hell was he?
Right.
Steiner's son.
Right. They're going to have somebody that's been pushed to the moon, that's completely over, so over that it's just unstoppable to beat him. But yes, it'd be funny if Rick Steiner's son just beats him in a couple of weeks. That'd make more sense than a lot of the other erratic booking that they're doing at this point.
Yeah, interesting.
So we're on the agreement. So we're all in agreement that this Roman Reigns shit is garbage now. Are we all in agreement on that?
It's garbage. Roman Reigns has turned into garbage. It's the same shit, man. I mean, don't get me wrong. I like the way he's got you worked up. If anything, I like the way he's got you worked up. Frankly, he could never work me up the way he's got you worked up. But, you know, that's just the heel in me, bro. I got to poke fun at that. Because you're pretty fucked up about it, bro.
Yeah, like, he gets put over. Like, everybody's sick of it. Like, he hasn't put anybody over. Not even his family. He hasn't even put his family over. His family, his cousins look like schmucks.
He totally fucking cucked them out. He literally fucking cucked them out. And they had to fucking fall in line. And they did.
Oh, no.
And it looked like Jimmy was going to be the holdout there for a while.
He looked like he
was holding out. But eventually, he fell in line too. Makes me wonder if The Rock is going to fall in line.
He gave up in a few weeks. He didn't even try. He gave up in 2 weeks.
It's crazy. AEW won the week in ratings last week. How about that? Can I say that
They're
again? AEW won the week in ratings.
Against two.
They beat Raw. In the ratings. Oh, you got an ambulance out there. Everybody all right?
Yeah, I am in the medical center. Sorry, I'm sitting outside of my patio. But yes, there's ambulance driving by like every 5 minutes.
Ridiculous. Gotcha. But yeah,
especially with the Delta.
They actually beat, right, Christian? This is true, right? What I'm saying?
Yeah, it's true. They beat them in the demographic in the ratings. They're probably going to beat them again this week because this show is fucking dog shit.
And then the pay-per-view buys, they had over 200,000 buys, and they're not all in yet. They haven't released the final numbers, but it's over 205,000 so far at last report. Now, I haven't kept up with the news in about a day and a half. But at last report, they were over 205,000. Holy shit. The revolution is here.
What was the buy rate for WWE pay-per-views, the average, before the WWE network? Anybody know?
Oh, bro, I had a fucking article set up, man, and then I got all taken out.
I have no idea.
Yeah, I'm here. I'm just looking. Man, I had a great article, and I don't have it on hand. I didn't bookmark it, unfortunately, about the buy rates with WWE in contrast to AEW. But we can do that next week for sure. I can look into it and we can do a little something. Because by then things will be more clear. And then the AEW only does pay-per-views, what, once every couple months or what the hell?
Yeah.
I think they do like every 2 months.
Yeah.
Every other month?
Yeah, 2 months, yeah.
So apparently 200,000 is really good.
Yes.
They're doing, they beat WrestleMania 30, which had about 200,000 buys, but
these are numbers that they used to get regularly, bro, on pay-per-views like back in the days, like back in the, you know, Ruthless Aggression era and shit. These numbers were common back then. So that's, yes, it is really good, because I guarantee you WWE wouldn't do that kind of number.
Apparently, from what I'm reading here, it's that before the network, a lot of pay-per-views for WWE sold less than 200,000.
There you
go.
And the only reason they would be over 200,000 if, and that's a big if, we need to find out and tune in next week because we're going to talk about it. Yeah, let's do this now. Let's set up the table for next week. We'll talk about the ratings next week. We'll have a segment on the ratings. And everybody bring to the table what you can about the ratings, and we'll see what we can have, a discussion about it.
Yeah.
I like the sound of that, my friends. So, yeah, AEW fucking winning big in the fucking ratings. Big time.
They beat out Survivor Series in 2013. They beat out Night of Champions. They did more than Elimination Chamber, more than Hell in a Cell. Survivor Series is about the same. So, yeah.
Man.
Good, bro.
Wow. We got to get those credentials going, Albert.
Yeah.
I'm serious. I want to show up with a credential. I mean, all they can do is say no.
My Google credential thing.
We got to have some kind of credential. We need to make a credential. Or World Generation Podcast credentials.
Yeah, it's a laminated piece of paper. And, it's good.
Yeah, we'll make a little cutout. Listen, we've got it all, and it's coming next week, by the way. We've got new theme, or maybe a revisit of the old theme. You know, we could always do that for the new season. We've got the new season coming up. Next week.
Mm-hmm.
Now, typically, we used to start the new season on, right before WrestleMania. I've done it. Here's the deal. I don't even know how the fuck I've done it. We've done it so long. And sometimes the new season starts, right before the new year, at the new year, right? With the new pay-per-view, what's it called? Not the King of the Ring, but, you know, the one where they all point at the fucking sign and shit.
WrestleMania.
No. It culminates at WrestleMania.
The Royal Rumble?
Yeah.
The Royal Rumble?
Yeah.
What's the favorite one? They all point at the sign. You know the one with Jimmy O'Connell?
Yes. The one where Jimmy O'Connell comes out and celebrates, you know, King of the Ring. And it all starts there, baby. But no, it's not Survivor Series, but you know the one. You just said it. You know, and I've never really cared for that pay-per-view all that much. I mean, you know, they do the whole deal where a 30-man battle royal or whatever the hell, and it always seems like
it's predetermined.
There you go. And it always just seems like it's predetermined. And they fucking, you know, have the winner, and then he points at the sign and shit. And then by the time, sometimes he doesn't even make it there. Because then, you know, there's Elimination Chamber, and there's fucking, now there's the Fast Lane, and there's all kinds of shit, you know. And then there's two titles, you know, so it's like, what the hell? And then sometimes we start the season after the whole thing is over, you know, because WrestleMania just passed. But to keep it in line with, you know, regular television shows, our debut could be tomorrow, because that's the regular TV shows and news shows, radio shows, they're all starting up tomorrow, or not tomorrow, but, you know, this week and next week. So that's us, baby. Tune in to the new Fatal 4-Way Radio. Maybe we'll get a new host, too. I've had, there's been complaints, you know, about Minister. So maybe we'll get rid of Minister. Who the hell knows? But I digress. So let's close ourselves out, gentlemen. And by the way, we fucking completely missed Kevin. Kevier West tonight. Totally missed him. Wish him the best out there. He's probably still struggling without power, and damn it, that sucks. Nobody, and I mean nobody, should be without power at any time here in the U.S., but apparently that is the case. And right now for Kevier West, oh, man, it's got to suck, bro. It's got to suck. So with that, let's close ourselves out, guys. We miss Kevier. We miss Kevier tonight. Can we get his fucking intro or something?
Yeah.
A little bit of Kevier there.
Yo, this is Kevier West. You're listening to us live on the Fatal 4-Way Podcast. Coming to you Tuesday nights at 9 on the World Generation Podcast Network. You can check us out on Facebook at Pro Wrestling Planet. I'll be here every week being the mediator, the friendly baby face, the all-knowing, well, no, that's the Swami Christian, but I digress. Tune in every week at 9. We'll see you then.
Yeah.
Kevier West. You made me cry, Minister. You made me cry. You made me cry. I just imagine Kevier sitting there on the roof of his house, completely totaled with electricity,
oh,
and
come on
trying to cook a can of beans for him and his family, with a lighter and some fire and just. I know it's horrible out there, Kevin, but stay strong. Or Fatal 4-Way Radio, we're coming to get you, man. We're coming to rescue you. We'll be there soon enough. We'll be there with the
Fatal 4-Way copter.
Yeah.
The Fatal 4-Way copter.
Yeah. Well, that's it. That's all you're saying. Good night, everybody.
Oh,
and you know what? Don't forget to visit TexasSolarNow.com. I know we're pulling that thing, but you know what? I got a few hits on the website, so we're going to go ahead and mention TexasSolarNow.com. Go on there, sign up, and it's easy, simple process. You can get $25. And also, StoreFrontier.com/PDP shop. Just a few lines out there. So, everybody, see you guys later.
Ladies and gentlemen, retro punk rocker Albert and Spencer. Yeah. Christian from Philly. The Lily Willie. Close yourself up, my friend.
All right. Everybody, thank you for listening in to Fatal 4 Radio. Kevin, I hope you are doing fine, my brother. Hopefully you got your generator and you got a little bit of electricity left in the house. But until then, see you all next week. Good night, motherfuckers.
I think I got a new theme for you, bro. Let me see. Do I got this theme here on here? Christian. Dang. I don't have it yet. Let me see.
Hello, creatures of the night. This is Christian from Philly, and you're listening to Fatal 4A Radio, only on the World Generation Podcast Network. Get with it, bitches.
That wasn't it. But ladies and gentlemen, Christian from Philly. The Lily Willie. That's right, baby. Hey, so yeah, thank you for tuning in, everybody, and go back and listen to our shows in the archives of the World Generation Podcast Network for Kevye West, Rancho Punk Rocker, and the Swami. I am the resident heel, reminding you to keep it real, keep it heel, and as always, keep it sexy, and we'll see you next time right here on Fatal 4-Way Radio. Peace out. Motherfuckers!
Presentation of the World Generation Podcast Network.
We welcome you to the Lone Star State with big wide open arms. But if you're trapping litter, well, that's cause for some alarm. You gotta keep our environment clean, and that's the honest truth. So don't you mess with Texas, lest you wanna get the boot. Go don't mess with Texas. This land is for me and you. From Dallas to the valley, every highway looking dandy, so future generations can enjoy too.
This has been a presentation of the World Generation Podcast Network.